that made the man feel rather worried.
"Where to now, Sarge?" said Sam as they pulled away.
"Cable Street," said Vimes. There was a murmur of dismay from the crated people behind them.
"That's not right," muttered Sam.
"We're playing this by the rules," said Vimes. "You're going to have to learn why we have rules, Lance Constable. And don't you eyeball me. I've been eyeballed by experts, and you look as if you're desperate for the privy."
"Yeah, all right. But everyone knows they torture people," mumbled Sam.
"Do they?" said Vimes. "Then why doesn't anyone do anything about it?"
"'Cause they torture people."
"Ah, at least I was getting a grip of basic social dynamics," thought Vimes. Sullen silence reigned in the seat beside him as the wagon rumbled through the streets, but he was aware of whispering behind him. Slightly louder than the background, he heard Rosie Palm's voice hiss, "He won't, I'll bet anything." A few seconds later, a male voice, slightly the worse for drink and very much the worse for bladder-twisting dread, managed,
Sergeant, I believe the fine is $5.
"I don't think it is, sir," said Vimes, keeping his eyes on the damp streets. There was some more frantic whispering, and then the voice said,
I have a very nice gold ring."
"Glad to hear it, sir," said Vimes. "Everyone should have something nice." He patted his pocket for his silver cigar case, and for a moment felt more anger than despair, and more sorrow than anger. There was a future. There had to be. He remembered it, but it only existed as that memory, and that was fragile as a reflection on a soap bubble, and maybe just as easily popped.
I could perhaps include...
"If you try to offer me a bribe one more time, sir," said Vimes as the wagon turned into Cable Street, "I shall personally give you a thumping. Be told."
"Perhaps there is some other," Rosie Palm began as the lights of the Cable Street house came into view.
"We're not at home to a tuppenny upright either," said Vimes, and heard the gasp. "Shut up, the lot of you."
He reined Marilyn to a halt, jumped down and pulled his clipboard from under the seat.
"7 for you," he said to the guard lounging against the door.
"Well," said the guard, "open it up and let's be having him then."
"Right," said Vimes, flicking through the paperwork. "No problem." He thrust the clipboard forward. "Just sign here."
The man recoiled as though Vimes had tried to offer him a snake.
"What do you mean, sign?" he said. "Hand him over."
"You sign," said Vimes woodenly. "That's the rules. Prisoners move from one custody to another. You have to sign. More of my job's worth not to get a signature."
"Your job's not worth spit," snarled the man, grabbing the board.
He looked at it blankly, and Vimes handed him the pencil.
"If you need any help with the difficult letters, let me know," he said helpfully.
Growling, the guard scrawled something on the paper and thrust it back.
"Now open up, please," he said.
"Certainly,"
said Vimes, glancing at the paper.
"But now I'd like to see some form of ID, thank you."
"What?"
"It's not me, you understand," said Vimes. "But if I went back and showed my captain this piece of paper and he said to me, Keel, how do you know he's Henry the Hamster? Well, I'd be a bit flummoxed. Maybe even perplexed."
"Listen, we don't sign for prisoners."
"We do, Henry," said Vimes. "No signature, no prisoners."
"And you'll stop us from taking them, will you?" said Henry the Hamster, taking a few steps forward.
"You lay a hand on that door," said Vimes, "and I'll chop it off, will you?"
"I'll arrest you," said Vimes. "Obstruction would be a good start, but we can probably think of some more charges back at the station."
"Arrest me? But I'm a copper, same as you."
"Wrong again," said Vimes.
What is the trouble here?" said a voice.
A small, thin figure appeared in the torchlight. Henry the Hamster took a step back and adopted a certain deferential pose.
"Officer won't hand over the curfew breakers, sir," he said.
"And this is the officer?"
said the figure, lurching towards Vimes with a curiously erratic gait.
"Yes, sir."
Vimes found himself under cool and not openly hostile inspection from a pale man with the screwed-up eyes of a pet rat.
"Ah,"
said the man, opening a little tin and taking out a green throat pastil.
"Would you be Keel by any chance? I have been hearing about you."
The man's voice was as uncertain.